to talk about something tonight. It's not going to take very long. It's going to take a very short time to get my point across. But it's going to be a lesson that we need to be considering and looking at. Competing for Christ. And you can take this several different ways, but we are in the business of promoting Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of competition out there, specifically Satan and the world is out there. And so when we're competing for souls, to help souls, we have a lot of stiff competition out there. And for a sports fan, when we think about it this way, and a lot of us are sports fans in one way or another. For some of us, you look around and you'll see them wearing jerseys for a team. Or you'll go into someone's house, and I know you go into Shirley's house and you see San Francisco Giants and 49ers paraphernalia all over the place. And of course, I have a Houston Astros flag in my room, so I know what it's like to support a team. And you get a team, and it becomes your favorite team. And there's always that special time of year when you really get down and root for a team. It might be during the playoffs, or if they're struggling to get into the playoffs. You're rooting for your team, and we see these things. And it might be the finals or the championship that gets one interested and exciting. You know, when it comes to basketball, I really can't get excited until Final Four shows up. I could care less about the rest of it, but when that Final Four gets here, okay, I'm a basketball fan for a few minutes, or maybe the finals. But other than that, no big deal. But when we think about it, there's just a lot of excitement that starts taking place during the playoffs and these championships. There's a lot of excitement. Who is going to win? Who's going to carry the trophy? And we hope it's someone that we're rooting for. And that's what we look for. And then for the 2.5 to 3 hours these crucial games last, the players are competing, using their God-given talents and abilities to try and help their team win. And each week, and whether it's in high school, college, or professional stadiums around the nation, people are competing while their fans cheer them on. And that's the way it is. And we don't mind getting involved in that either, do we? I mean, if we have our kids in the on the team, we're going to be in the stands cheering them on. And if we have other family or friends that we are aware of out there competing, we're going to cheer them on. And we're going to help these people by encouraging to the best of our ability. And, of course, we won't be out there telling them how to run the plays or how to block this person or how to swing the bat or anything like that. I mean, that's on them to do. But we also, since we're here in church, we need to make a spiritual application of this. And it shouldn't be hard to make a spiritual application because we understand one aspect of what we're talking about. When Jesus started making spiritual applications, he took something that the people knew and spoke in such a way that they eventually figured it out and helped them understand. That's why he spoke to them in parables. And so you take something that people understand, and then you put a story beside it so that they can connect the dots and make the relationship. So let's make a spiritual application about championships and competing in the sports arena. Paul wrote, "Do you not know that all those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win." And so 1 Corinthians 9:24. Paul spoke this application. Yes, as we know, a lot of people get in the race and only one wins the race. That's the one who comes in first. Now, we're not talking about a society where everybody gets a trophy. No, we're talking about a situation where only one person is crowned the champion. And so he says, don't just participate. Participate in order to win. That's what we need to do. He said in Galatians 5:7, commending that you were running well, who hindered you from obeying the truth? And then in Philippians 3:14, Paul writes, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:14. And so that sporting competition is still in his writing. Now, in 2 Timothy 4:7-8, he says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Now, in 2 Timothy 2:5, says, and also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. Nobody likes a cheater. And when someone tries to skirt the rules, people don't like that, so that disqualifies people. So if we're going to compete as an athlete, we've still got to compete by the rules. Now, if we follow the rules, we may not win, but we still have to abide by the rules. And in the spiritual realm, the same application is true. We've got to abide by the rules. And God has given us those rules, so we need to follow those. So Paul made several analogies between the Christian life and sports in his writings. You could maybe assume that when he was younger, he participated in the games. He participated in competition with his neighbors, his friends. He said, I can beat you down to that end of the street. And he competed and ran against others. It might have been a test of strength. Let's see if I can pick up this rock or see if you can pick up that rock or something like that. So there was always an edge of competition in Paul's psyche that he talked about. And it's something that we all can relate to, can't we? Because we all understand what it takes for our team to win. They've got to be better than the other team. They've got to be stronger than the other team or smarter than the other team. And they've got to basically do the basics better than the other team does. And so Paul made these analogies, and we can do the same thing. A lot of his writing, which we understand, had to do with the training an athlete undergoes in preparing to compete. We know what that is. I mean, they put themselves on a very strict diet. And, of course, they are very careful not to, hot dogs and caramel corn and stuff like that in getting ready. I mean, it's meat and veggies. I mean, that's what they do in order to get their bodies prepared. And then they train. They work hard. They practice. If they're going to run a mile race, they're running 2 miles every day. They're trying to build up their endurance so they can push themselves even harder in order to win. And some of us have experienced that ourselves personally. Others, we've watched our kids do it. And so we all understand this principle. And then, of course, some of his writing had to do with the actual competition itself. So run so as to win. And there's a reason for winning. And so during the course of the game, these athletes are competing. They're using every bit of their talents and abilities to do the very best they can. As the game goes on, maybe some will step up and perform, as we might say, heroically, helping their team to win. Every now and then, we always appreciate it when one just kind of rises above his ability and all of a sudden he's doing better than he normally does. And it's just very special to see, and you're sometimes in awe of that. Marshawn Lynch, a running back. I mean, during the season, ho-hum, But when he gets the playoffs, he's a beast. He's a monster, and it's hard to bring him down. And some of the most fantastic runs I ever saw in football, he ran them. And he just kept knocking people over, twisting around and turning and just making the yardage. And so sometimes they step up at these times. We still got spiritual application coming. Look at it this way, and let this sink in. If an athlete can use all of his talents and abilities to win a game, how much more should a child of God use their talents and abilities to serve our Lord? Do we do that? Do we put forth our every effort in order to serve our Lord? And that's the application we need to consider. See, if an athlete can go out and train, practice for endless hours, perfecting their skills, go out on the day of a game and give everything they have to win a game, that in light of eternity is meaningless. I mean, in this world, yeah, what this world has to offer, yeah, championship, maybe money is their motivation. But in light of eternity, that is nothing. It's only a game. The child of God should train even harder, practice harder, and never give less than everything we have. Since those people we reach for Christ, maybe they can escape the everlasting separation from God and enjoy eternity with Him. What they do on the field matters only for a few moments, maybe a couple weeks or the season. What we do matters for eternity, and we should be working hard at it. See, the performance of an athlete during a game may determine who wins or loses that game. But the performance of those who serve the Lord can determine if a person spends eternity with the Lord or is forever separated from Him. You know, we talk about this. We talk about our influence. We talk about the example that we set. And our actions could actually have a bearing upon someone else's soul. And we sometimes don't even pay attention to that. How we behave might mean everything to someone else who is trying to look to you as an example. I mean, if you're trying to be your best to serve the Lord, that might be the example someone needs to see to try harder in serving the Lord. But if they see you giving up or not trying very hard, well, I mean, that teaches a lesson too, doesn't it? It's like parents. Parents can say all day long, do what I say, but don't do what I do. How effective is that going to be? Like Jesus said about the Pharisees, he said, well, do what they tell you to do because it's right, but don't do like they're doing because they're wrong. So what the athlete does may be important for that moment or the season. What the servant of God does is important for eternity. And that includes our own actions, our own self. Are we trying to serve the Lord with all of our ability? We should. All right. We should understand today that what we do for the Lord has eternal significance. And you may not think much of it, but when you get out and interact with people of this world, it should make a difference. Should make a difference in their life. They should see something in you. They should see something in me that separates us from the rest of the world. And very easily it could be because we don't use the type of language the world uses. That might be a first clue for these people. Oh, I don't hear those vulgarities out of their mouth. What have they got going on? Or they might see us reading our Bible. And then, of course, more importantly, living our Bibles. When we do that, we are definitely different from the world. And there is eternal significance to this. The way you live your life each day, sharing your faith in Christ with others, allowing God to work through you to bless someone else, is greater than hitting a home run in the World Series or throwing a touchdown pass in the Super Bowl. Now, you might think that analogy is kind of stretching it a little bit. But when we look at it from the spiritual significance, if I can teach someone to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and helping them get to heaven, that far supersedes anything this world has to offer, even if just for a brief moment. Helping someone get to heaven is our goal as Christians, as a congregation. We're to help each other get to heaven. And if one of our members can get to heaven, it's like hitting that home run. It's like scoring that touchdown. Yes, it's something we should be excited about. When someone obeys the gospel, we should be excited about that. And even though star athletes get paid millions of dollars for what they do on the field, the child of God is paid in things more precious than silver and gold for what they do for the Lord. It's that inward satisfaction that we get when we help someone get to heaven, when we sit down and talk to each other about going to heaven. I mean, that there's something very special about that, and you can't put a price on it. It's very special. You can't put a price on the peace and joy that only God can give you. You might find a price tag for happiness if your team wins, or an athlete might have joy in the fact that he gets paid lots of money for winning that championship. But putting a price on the peace that only God offers, the peace which surpasses all understanding, we can't put a price on that. It is priceless. Starting to sound like a MasterCard commercial, right? Yeah. All right. You can't put a price on God's blessings. You really can't. You can cherish them very much. And you can enjoy them so much that you'll practically want to do anything to share in those blessings. And doing anything, I don't mean go out and sin. I mean doing what God wants you to do. I mean, that'll give you the satisfaction and the joy of serving God and knowing that He is pleased with you. Kind of like we talked this morning. The Lord needs to be pleased with what we do for Him. So God's rewards for those who are faithful in serving Him are greater than all the riches of this world. Like Jesus said, what does it matter to gain the whole world and yet lose your soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Yes, if we get rewarded with heaven, it's going to surpass anything and everything that could have even taken place in this world down here. Never forget how important these things you do for Christ really are. And you do this every day. Your job is to go out and share Jesus Christ with everyone you come in contact with. Your job is to be ready to give an answer of the hope that is in you. And certainly, if an athlete can go out and practice hour upon hour upon hour to perfect their trade, shouldn't we be making an effort to perfect ours? Remember, every day is game day. There are souls on the line every single day. Now, you may not be performing on primetime television or be on the cover of Sports Illustrated, but nothing an athlete does in their sport can compare to what you do when you are serving the Lord. Think about that for a minute. If you're serving the Lord, what they do really doesn't matter. See, they're providing entertainment to those who they can reach. We're providing the words of life to those you reach. And those words of life are so much more important than just a fleeting moment of entertainment. Even though man looks at the athlete as a hero, God looks at those who serve Him as heroes. Every one of us who are faithful to the Lord, God has a special place in His heart for us. He treats us like heroes. We are His champions. and he treats us that way. And the next time you're watching a sporting event, take the time to enjoy the talents that these people have who are playing the game and understand that. A lot of us are at that point where we can't do that anymore. Maybe in our earlier days we could have. But we can still appreciate what they go through and what they do in order to be the type of champions that they are. But never forget that God has given you special talents as well. He has given every one of his children gifts and talents to serve him with. You realize that? Maybe we become Christians and we just keep coming to church all the time, but we don't realize sometimes what our talents are. And our talents don't have to be fantastic talents. I mean, just the idea of being able to give an encouraging word to a brother or sister, that is a talent. To be able to encourage someone, to be faithful, that is a talent. That is something we can use. That is a gift we can use. And then when you help someone, that is a gift you can use. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. See, if you don't use your gift, you will lose it. Like the athlete, if the athlete doesn't prepare, if the athlete doesn't train, he's going to lose his ability. How many professional football players that we remember growing up are now barely able to get by with canes and in wheelchairs? Some of the greatest running backs, Earl Campbell. I mean, he was a great running back. But now he's confined to a wheelchair. His body took so much abuse during those years and his body broke down. He cannot walk anymore. What has that gotten him? Yes, his name, he's still in the Hall of Fame. But think about us. We have gifts. If we don't use them, they're going to be taken away from us, right? Remember the parable of the talents? Jesus, the one person who's given one talent. The master saw he had an ability, but he buried that talent, didn't use it. So it was taken away from him. If we don't use our talents, they will be taken away from us and given to another. 1 Peter says, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Yes, we all have been given gifts. We just need to start applying ourselves and do that as the stewards God has made us to be. So exercise your gifts and use your talents to share the hope and love of Christ with the lost and those who are hurting in your life. We need to be there for others. See, there may not be a stadium full of people cheering you on as you faithfully serve our Lord. Just might be a small handful of people doing that. But there is a God and an angelic host which is greater than any crowd, any stadium can hold. They're rooting you on. They're rooting you and Jesus on his throne, waiting to welcome you into glory when your race is finished. I mean, God has our back and he's cheering for us. How does that make you feel when you think about that? It should make us feel outstanding. Should make us feel like a champion. In Hebrews, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. That's what we need to be doing. Fixing our gaze on Jesus. So are you running the race? See, this competing for Christ will continue as long as we live. And the question is, Will you be his champion? Will you be the one who he is happy to put the crown upon your head? That's what we're striving for, and that's what we encourage each of us to do and to be. Consider those thoughts. It's something that we can all relate to. We all can understand it. But the game is on, folks. There's a game going on right now, and the stakes are very high. It's the stakes of the souls of men and women. Are you participating in the game? Are you helping to win? Are you helping the master win? Consider those thoughts. We're going to sing your invitation. If someone has the need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.